Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The text for this message is found in this passage. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in my prayers. Can you imagine the number of times that the Apostle Paul uses that phrase or something similar to that phrase, the prayer list that the Apostle Paul must have had? Because every letter he's telling people that he's praying for them, praying for whole churches, praying for leadership, praying for sick people, so forth. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our Father, our God and Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, his choice of you. I won't bother that phrase, just let it soak in. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. And it's referring back to chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. In other words, Paul and Silas and Timothy were part of the first wave of evangelism in the Greek city of Thessalonica. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. That's a wide territory if you look in your Bible map section. In just a short period of time, this church had developed a tremendous reputation and a wide influence. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. There's my text. The word of the Lord has sounded forth. It's referring to trumpeting. The word of God has been trumpeted from your church, from your people. For the word of God has sounded forth. It's the sound of the trumpet that is being referred to here. So that's going to be the instrument that we talk about this morning. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth so that we have no need to say anything. This is an amazing passage of scripture coming out of this rather new, young church, that the word of God had just gone out everywhere from them. For they themselves report also, report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from the idols to serve a living and true God. I mean, what a testimony they had. Positive, powerful, far-reaching testimony, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. On Paul's second missionary journey, he preached in the city of Thessalonica on three Sabbath days. I think he was there longer than 3 weeks, but three Sabbath days are mentioned. A number of people were converted and formed a nucleus of what was to become a vigorous and thriving church. Those who were converted lived such consistent lives that they were conspicuous. They stood out in the midst of a corrupt heathen community. That's what all the cities were. Their lives were loud proclaimers, effective witnesses to the transforming difference. There was a change, and there was power in that change. The difference that Christ makes in the life when he is trusted and served as Lord. The difference which they demonstrated was so obvious that they became the subject of conversation, for all of them came into contact with other people as they moved about their lives. In describing the conspicuous nature of the winsome testimony of this congregation, the believers, Paul used a word which was ordinarily used in describing the blast from a trumpet in verse 8. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. They were trumpeting the gospel. Their lives were so close to the living Lord that their influence was felt throughout the community as positively as the clear, ringing, loud, penetrating, melodious, rousing notes of a trumpet would be heard by all except the dead. So that's a pretty powerful outreach, a pretty powerful image, like a trumpet sounding forth. They were sounding forth as a congregation. Would for Christ's sake that from each of us and from all of us collectively there should go forth a Christian testimony as clear, as melodious, as harmonious, as beautiful as the piercing notes of a trumpet. Only as we respond to the privileges and responsibilities of the priesthood of believers, a truth rediscovered in the Middle Ages, in the time of the Reformation movement, 1500 to early 1700s, a truth rediscovered during the Reformation. That is the priesthood of all believers, not just the Catholic Church clergy, but all believers. When that begins to happen in local churches in cities all over the world, there's good hope for making a powerful witness, a winning impact on the world with the gospel message that has been committed to us. And speaking of this text, there was a man, a preacher who primarily lived in the latter part of the 19th century, Alexander McLaren. McLaren had great influence in England and Scotland, and he spent time in Australia. It is said that the attendance at his churches during that era was second only to Spurgeon. Spurgeon had 5,000 people on Sunday morning and 5,000 on Sunday night and 5,000 on Wednesday night. The Metropolitan Tabernacle. I'm going to throw this thing away someday, I hope. The Metropolitan Tabernacle in London in Spurgeon's day, called Spurgeon's Tabernacle, would seat 5,000. That was monstrous in those days. This man's ministry, his publishing ministry, volumes and volumes and volumes. I think he died in 1910, so he lived into the early years of the 20th century. But McLaren, in one of his messages called "The Church is God's Trumpet." The church is God's trumpet. And through the church, God would speak of his love, his mercy, his power, his purpose of grace to those who are lost and in sin. The trumpet needs to sound forth. The world needs to hear the sound of God's trumpet. The world hears discord and division and hate. They need to hear a new message, which is not really a new message. It just hasn't been heralded as it should be. The trumpet needs to sound forth. The world needs to hear God's trumpet. To properly appreciate Paul's commendation, it should be recognized that the trumpet is a musical instrument that has been used through the centuries by the military. It has been used for a number of different purposes, and I want to deal with those purposes as the heart of our message this morning. Number one, the trumpet was used to issue a challenge. It was used to issue a challenge. There's an old legend, and I tell it simply as a legend, to the effect that each morning in heaven, the trumpets would ring out for all to hear. And when Lucifer, son of the morning, was asked after he had been cast out of heaven what he missed most, he replied, "I miss most of all the trumpets that were sounded forth in the morning." Now remember, that's a legend. The world misses the sound of God's trumpet. They're not hearing it today. It is being so overwhelmed by the noise of the world, by the noise of sin, that it's so faint or not heard at all in so much of our world. The trumpet that would challenge both saint and sinner to a life of faith and obedience must understand and appreciate the message and the mission. If we would be God's trumpet in the world to challenge the heart of the world, the hearts of men, we need to go again to Gethsemane's gloom and come to a new understanding of the awful weight of sin that was upon Jesus as he prayed in the garden. If we would be God's trumpet in the world to challenge the hearts of men, we need to feel the weight of sin. He sweat, the scripture says, as blood. He was being crushed. Gethsemane is a crushing. The crushing of the grapes. The illustration carries over concerning sin. We need to visit Golgotha's bloody brow and see both the awful penalty of sin and the immeasurable and indescribable love of God for sinners. Dennis and I were standing back there talking about that just a few minutes before the service started this morning. We need to visit the empty tomb and rediscover the impact of having a living Savior who has conquered death and the grave. It's not just a good story in the book. It's reality. He is alive. We should go with the apostles to the upper room and tarry, wait until we have been endued with power from on high as we seek to face the world and sound the trumpet, proclaim the message. We should listen to the note of victory and confidence and courage. Julia Ward Howe wrote these words, "He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before the judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him, be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on." Stories told that on one occasion, the troops of Napoleon were despondent and they were in great danger of experiencing defeat. When someone inquired as to whether or not it would be advisable to sound a retreat, Napoleon, being the great military leader, and I say that honestly, he was, and is recognized as that historically. But this great military leader that he was, he issued an order for the opposite and commanded that the trumpeter play a march. The troops responded, and victory was achieved. The church needs and the world needs to hear the sound of the trumpet as a call to come together and proclaim the message. That's why we're here. If we don't proclaim the message, we have no right to exist in the world society. But God has placed the church to be his voice, to proclaim his message to a lost and dying world. And if you share in that purpose, great. If you don't, I'm sorry. Secondly, the trumpet was used to announce good news. Announce good news. In ages gone by, the messenger of the king would pass through the land, would ride through the land, and at certain places along the way, along the road, he would stop and the trumpeter would sound the trumpet. The people would know that the king was near and there was a message for them, and they would come to the sound of the trumpet. The people assembled, and the official from the king's court would read the message of the king. Sometimes the message was good, sometimes the message was not good, it was bad. The Heavenly Father used an angel to announce the birth of the royal child, and instead of a trumpet, he sent a whole angelic choir, probably thousands upon thousands were in the choir that day, singing about the arrival of baby Jesus, heralding the good news of the birth of a Savior. Today, God would use you personally. He would use the church collectively to announce to a needy world that salvation is available through this child, who was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ came to reveal God's love. God's love is a sacrificial, self-giving love. The supreme revelation of God's love is the gift of his Son on the cross for each one of us. You say he died for the whole world, but he died for you personally. He died for you personally. God's love offers salvation to all through Jesus Christ. This salvation includes the forgiveness of sin, the promise of power to live a victorious life over evil in the present, and a life of fellowship with God for eternity. That about takes in the whole picture, doesn't it? Life and eternity. This is the message that we are to announce to the world as clearly and as forcefully as the notes of a trumpet penetrates the ear of all who would hear except the dead. Number three, the trumpet was used to warn of dangers. You know, there are many warnings in the Word of God. Things we are warned not to do. Things we are warned, you better do this. This is what God wants. This is God's will. This you are to do. For thousands of years, cities were warned of possible danger by the trumpeter, who was charged with the responsibility of being a watchman. Now, in case you haven't read in Ezekiel lately, I'm going to turn to chapter 33. Read a few verses to help you understand how God sees the responsibility of a watchman and what a watchman is to do. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, if I bring a sword upon a land and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land, this man who's been appointed a watchman here. He sees the sword coming upon the land, and he blows on the trumpet and warns the people. That's what the watchman is to do. Then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. In other words, he's responsible for his death. He did not heed the warning of the watchman. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood will be on himself, but had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hands. Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman. God had appointed Ezekiel a watchman for the nation, for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. But if you on your part warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity. But you, watchman, have delivered your life. That's God's picture of a city and a watchman. A city that needs to be warned that danger is coming. We have a world that needs to be warned. God spoke to Ezekiel concerning a unique position, a unique responsibility of privilege and responsibility in terms of a watchman who was to use a trumpet to warn the people of approaching danger. But if the watchman see the sword come, and for whatever reason doesn't blow the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. God spoke to Isaiah and instructed him to warn the nation as a trumpeter of the evil consequences of sin in the following words: cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Isaiah 58, verse 1. God gave Isaiah the same message. America's greatest danger is not Russia or China or North Korea or Iran or a host of other countries that we might name. Regardless of their military power, their bombs, their drones, whatever, America's greatest danger as a nation is to be found in the peril of forgetting God, who has made us great. It is so easy for a great nation to become proud and haughty and self-sufficient that threatens our nation can be traced to either our forgetting or ignoring the will of God who has made us great. As America is in the process of turning its back upon God, you say, well, there are many millions who haven't done that yet. That's true. But I'm talking about being honest with what we see. And we have seen it accelerate in the last 20 years. Until now, we look back and long for how things were 20 years ago. Sometimes even 10 years ago. It has changed so much. We have declined so much. Individuals and communities, cities and nations need to hear the warnings of God and learn the lessons of history. The church needs to be God's trumpet today to warn our nation concerning the certain results of forgetting and ignoring God. And it should drive the church to its knees more than ever before. Let me share one more. The trumpet was also used to announce victory. When the battle was over and the victorious armies returned home, the arrival of the commanding officer was announced with a fanfare of trumpets, loud, exultant, piercing, penetrating, melodious notes of the trumpet would sound forth. When our Lord returns to earth for his own, his arrival will be announced not by the sad, sobbing, wailing of a flute, but with the piercing, shattering notes of a trumpet. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Listen, we are not looking for signs. We are listening for a sound. The sound of the trumpet. For the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. The poet Edward Mote said it in these words, and you will recognize them. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. We as individual members can help our church be God's trumpet in this community and even around the world. We have grown so small. We have little influence. We have little ability. But to unite with others who have numbers, who have finances, who have talent, who have vision, would seem to me to be the best step that we can take to help this property and this building be used to sound the trumpet in Terre Haute in a powerful, widespread way that we cannot do ourselves. We have God's good news to announce concerning a great God who loves sinners. We have a responsibility of warning the lost of the dangers to which they expose themselves by turning their back upon God. We have the privilege of waiting and listening for the sound of the trumpet that will announce the final and ultimate victory of our Lord and His coming. It was as individuals served as God's trumpet during the apostolic days. Think for just a moment as we wind down. Think for just a moment what the first century did not have. They didn't have great fancy buildings. They didn't have a lot of members. They didn't have a lot of money. I don't know how much talent they had. But they were called of God. They were given the power of the Holy Spirit and told to go forth and proclaim the message. We have God's good news to announce. If we can't get it done, we need to join the people who can get it done and work with them. We have the responsibility of warning the lost of the dangers to which they expose themselves. Families, friends, whatever your circle of influence is, there are lost people in every one of our circles of influence. There may be lost people in our family circles. I don't know, I'm just throwing it out. We have a responsibility. We have the privilege of waiting and watching and listening for the sound of the trumpet that will announce the final and ultimate victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was as individuals in the first century, without microphones, without power equipment, without electricity, without television, without nothing that we believe is so necessary today. The human lip to the human ear. That's how the gospel went forth in the first century. None of the stuff that we so highly prize as so necessary. And I'm not speaking against it. I'm simply drawing a comparison. With nothing that we use here today, word of mouth to the human ear is how the gospel went forth in New Testament times. How it went from country to country, continent to continent. That's all Paul ever had, a human voice to a human ear. And in the power of God, they turned the world upside down because they were trumpets sounding forth the word of God. It was as individuals served as God's trumpets during those apostolic days that the world first heard the gospel. It was as individuals responded in faith and faithfulness to this newly discovered truth of the priesthood of every believer that thousands of people were involved, because it became our responsibility, the church's responsibility, to get that message out. That's the message that shook the world with spirit-filled people who spoke from the heart, through the lip, to human hearts, who received that message by ear and it came into their heart, and they were saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for these lessons that we can learn about the trumpet, how important the instrument was even in the first century, and what illustrations the Bible uses to show us. Lord, I pray that from this place that was dedicated 27, 28 years ago, that we will so align ourselves with those who have aligned themselves with the gospel and who have the vision and the means to send it forth, that it will continue, Father, not only to touch Terre Haute, but places elsewhere in America, places elsewhere in our world that still need the touch of God and to hear the trumpet sounding message that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. In His name, Father, we pray and we thank you. Amen.